It's the Press Box on ESPN 1100 and 100.9 FM.
All right, rolling along in the final hour of the Press Box here on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM. I'm Clay Baker, Review Journal's Ed Graney here, live in the Finley Toyota Studios. I'd like to thank our guest Scott Bylow today, Steph McKenzie. Later today on Cofield & Company in the 3 o'clock hour, they'll have the Renegades from Caesar's Palace, fantastic new show. They'll have Jim McMahon, Terrell Owens. It'll be amazing. There'll be Jose Canseco. All these great guests will be in the studio at 3 o'clock promoting their amazing show at Caesars, which begins tonight. And as all the news agencies and ESPN, Fox networks, they have, like, you know, referees and officials now on their broadcast to talk about the insane amount of penalties that decide our lives and games, we find more value in the doctors here at Crivetti Orthopedics, CrivettiOrtho.com, to talk about the injuries of the sports and players and teams that we know and love and we follow, because they also dictate our lives. And Dr. Caleb Pinneger is here with us. He is Southern Nevada's leading sports injury expert. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, thank you.
It's good to have you here. And
good to see you, Doc.
After the Super Bowl, you get a chance to actually go and, like, relax a little bit and watch it? Or is it, like, too hard for you as a sports injury expert and doctor to watch people just go through insane hits and play football? Can you even actually enjoy a game?
You know, there's this chill that gets running through you when you see someone take a big hit. That I can't get that to go away no matter how many I see, but otherwise, I still love the game. I love to watch, so I enjoyed it.
Well, we were flinching the other night in the NBA, and one of our favorite players is on the Knicks team, NBA's Kristaps Porzingis, and he's a, you know, 7-footer, but he tore his left ACL, and it was just nasty watching anybody go down like that. But it was his first major injury of this kind, and it makes you wonder, like, what kind of knees do 7-footers have normally, in your experience?
You know, The fact of the size and the wear and tear that these guys put on their knees, I know we've talked before about how much damage you're surprised to find when you actually put a scope in a big guy's knee like this. But otherwise, I mean, it's all anatomy and it's all the same parts, just way bigger.
Just bigger parts, bigger yeah. Cartilage, bigger ligaments, right?
Bigger ligaments, longer ligaments. And so it does, you have to plan for that as far as how you're fixing these things. You have to think, hey, this is not a guy that I can pull an off-the-shelf tendon to try to repair this thing. I've got to find the part that's going to fit. And so for a guy like this, I mean, if he's had no injury before, you hope his cartilage is in great shape, but there's going to be some wear and tear because of the demand of a big guy. But otherwise, the ACL, where he's going to get it fixed, he's going to get it fixed right, and you hope to see him back as quick as we can.
Lonzo Ball has been out for the Lakers for a long time, and I think people sometimes hear, well, he's got a sprained right MCL. He's held out for 12 straight games. What's happening? Are they being overly cautious with him? Are they being tentative? It's not a tear. It's a sprain. Are you surprised he's been out this long, or can these things linger to where he's more susceptible if you do play him before it's healed, and then he could just blow it?
Well, if you remember, we talked about the spectrum of sprains. So there can be a grade 1, grade 2, grade 3. They still call it a sprain even when it's a grade 3. In reality, that's a full tear.
Okay.
And okay. So the spectrum of sprains is large. And depending on how much of this thing he tore, it's absolutely appropriate to miss a good number of games, because if there's laxity and not just pain at the site, then he's at risk to damage his meniscus, to potentially open the knee and hurt another ligament. And so to be careful, if he's still having soreness at the spot, has some laxity, absolutely, you got to shut him down.
There's a couple more basketball injuries I want to talk about. I don't know if I think you'll obviously you'll know this right away, because I was watching the game the other night and I'd never heard about it, but there's a kid at UNR named Caleb Martin. He has a Lisfranc sprain. Mm-hmm. Is that a toe? Or I mean, when you said it's like, really, he's going to be out that long? They said like 6 to 8 weeks. Well, this guy's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. And I'm reading what they're saying now up in Reno, and they're like, he can't even put pressure on it right now. I'm like, from the toe? I mean, is that what that is? Why would a kid like that?
There's a ligament that connects the arch of the foot is maintained by a series of ligaments. And okay. Basically, one of the main ligaments of the inside arch of this foot is a ligament that connects some of the small bones in the center of the foot to the long bones of the midfoot, we call it. And if that ligament is torn, then that structural support is gone and the arch can fall.
Ooh.
And so it's important for it to, and that can either be a torn ligament or it can occasionally fracture, and it's got to be very protected for a long while. This it can be a real serious injury.
And so it's 6 to 8 on a Lisfranc, you don't even blink at that? That could be that?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I mean, I watched him play against Colorado State, and you saw when he kind of tweaked it. They said he'd been dealing with this, and they tweaked it, and I'm like, oh, they play the Rebels next. I wonder if he'll play. Not only did he not play, the kid, they said he couldn't put he finished that game at Colorado State, but then, like, I guess it, whether, you know, 2 days later and everything's calmed down and now you start hurting, and now they're saying he could be out to 6 to 8 weeks. I never heard of the Lisfranc sprain, but it apparently they had people on there saying he's really in a lot of pain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very painful. Any weight bearing stresses that ligament,
right.
And so you have to take weight off of it, let it heal, and then they're going to be checking him with some X-rays later. They'll watch to make sure when he plants his foot on an X-ray, is it collapsing? Is it still stable?
Wow.
They'll be keeping good track of it, but that's a long recovery.
That doesn't seem like he's coming back this year. That's a season-ending injury when you start thinking about it. That's Dr. Caleb Pinneker at Crivetti Orthopedics. You can follow them online at CrivettiOrtho.com. And one of the leading experts in sports injuries here in Southern Nevada, spent a year fellowship with Dr. James Andrews. So we were thinking about a couple more injuries with the NBA, and we talk about like foot injuries. There's Achilles heel injuries, and sometimes there's just heel injuries. DeMarcus Cousins goes down with a ruptured Achilles, his left Achilles. Given his size, he's 6'11", 270 pounds, just a normal person. Let's say of that kind of like large girth. What do you tell them for Achilles injuries as opposed to somebody who's actually being demanded physically and actively on a day-to-day basis?
It's a lot more wear and a lot more demand, I should say, on the tendon. And so in some of the NFL studies where we study Achilles tears, we were able to see that the guys that had the most explosive demand on their tendon did worse. And
okay.
So a guy that has a lot of explosive requirement for his job is going to have a harder time getting back. I mean, the regular day-to-day guy who's playing an occasional basketball game on a weekend, you know, you get your Achilles fixed, you're usually pretty good to go.
Really?
But the demand and the requirement for these professional athletes, the return to play in the NFL is only around 70%. And for a running back or a linebacker in the NFL, it's less. And so for a guy that's real big and putting a lot of stress on that tendon, you can expect that to be a potential problem going forward.
Clay or I, maybe both, both rupture our Achilles today. What is the timetable, and then how much? If I run 6 miles every other day, mm-hmm. and that's kind of the routine, then how long before I get back to that? Clay does not do that.
No, Clay just sits and watches it.
But what's the timetable? Regular person, I rupture it. Because what you just said is interesting in that he can get all the way back, or not him, but the average person who just kind of plays pickup, oh, they can all get back and they'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing here. So what's the timetable? You're like, all right, you can go back and you'll do exactly what you've been doing and you'll be okay and probably not tear it again.
We're still looking at several months of recovery.
Depending on no running, they
start you getting you're walking in a couple of weeks, you're okay. Starting to advance some weight training and doing some exercises,
okay.
But yeah, before you're doing any explosive activities, you're waiting a couple months.
Okay.
And the next question is, in a guy like one of us, are we going to repair it or do we let it heal on its own? This injury can heal, but occasionally, depending on the type of tear, depending on the demand, then it's actually surgically fixed.
If you let it heal on its own and you just say, I'm just at an age, I don't want to go through surgery, I'll just take my chances, are you more susceptible as you get older that it'll rip again? Or once it's healed, is it healed?
Once this is healed, it should heal. The likelihood,
okay.
if you don't have surgery, there is a slightly higher risk of it re-tearing,
right.
But there's also the benefit becomes, well, if you have surgery, there's a chance of a wound infection or a
right.
wound problem. It's the farthest part on your body away from your heart, if you think about it.
Okay.
And so it receives potentially the least amount
blood.
Of blood flow. And so there can be problems beyond just the surgery. I mean, then you can deal with what if the wound decides not to heal? What if we get an infection? So
okay.
So the balance is pretty delicate on whether you fix or don't fix in a typical person.
See, we love DeMarcus Cousins. He's aggressive play, but 6'11", 270. And you even said, like, the percentages of even NFL players coming back from ruptured Achilles is very, very slim. It's not always assured, even after surgery. And I remember some NBA players, like Patrick Ewing, Rasheed Wallace, big guys that would have these surgeries. They said it would often feel like there's, like, a diamond in the middle of my foot when I try to step on it. That's what it feels. It's constantly there. You could always feel it, even after the surgery's over. do you think like a player of this stature, of like DeMarcus, is ever going to come back and play aggressive in the same way, or will just being playing aggressive, will that'll just rupture the Achilles again or put his other foot at risk?
You know, if he's not having symptoms, the likelihood of another rupture on the other side isn't as good, unless usually Achilles tendonitis is going to be more on one side than both, and it's usually that side that eventually gives up. But if he's gonna get back, and if he does the right therapy, the truth is, I mean, he's still got more than a 50% chance of coming back to this. It just is it's a long road to recovery, and he shouldn't have that sensation of a diamond in the heel if he's trying to take a step on it. There's a couple other spots of pain and spurs in the heel that can really cause that type of problem.
Okay.
But he should be, if he does the right therapy, gets the proper repair, he's still got a fair shot at coming back.
I'll switch sports on you now, because I was at this game in Pittsburgh the other night when the Vegas Golden Knights were there to play the Penguins. Fleury's homecoming was a surprise to everyone. Usually they'll give you a little heads up on this media-wise, but they didn't, that Ryan Shazier was there. The Pittsburgh Steelers player who was obviously had the spinal injury, mid-December surgery. He's now being helped to stand up. I think he had to clear up a tweet last week that he's not walking on his own. He still needs a walker and or help. The path to recovery, someone like this who's an NFL player, I mean, he's not going to play in the NFL again, but the path to recovery, and I know sometimes you guys, you wouldn't in your profession want to put percentages when not knowing everything on it, but if I told you he would fully walk again, given the progress he's already made, would that surprise you, or would you think looking at him being able to stand, being able to go with a walker, that's working towards that official, you know, that end date?
I think he is working toward that.
Okay.
If
you've seen enough, you're like, okay, he's making progress.
If he's getting up and using the assistance of a walker to actually move,
right,
and if he's getting control of his legs, and if we're seeing him make that progress, that's huge. And okay. And he's only really, if this happened in December, really 3 months into this thing, and we expect him to make improvements towards the year mark. So if he's already out of bed, already rising from a seated position, getting to a walker, and I don't know how much assistance that's requiring, but I think we'll continue to see him get better. So
yeah,
they
kind of took him by both arms, but it did appear that he pushed up. Like he was, I don't think they actually lifted him. He was doing enough to where you're hoping, like you said, if this is only 3 months in, that a year in, he'd walk.
Yeah.
Which would be amazing.
Gravetti Orthopedics here, one of the leading orthopedic centers here in Southern Nevada, and we're here with the sports injury expert, Dr. Caleb Pinneger. Follow them on Twitter as well and online, GravettiOrtho.com. Text questions, we always get them when you come in, Doctor, about some questions that kind of like they deviate from the normal sports, but one of them was, we have a lot of wrestling fans, and people always ask about certain wrestlers that get hurt. There's one about Daniel Bryan. We'll probably talk about that next week, but this week, Jason Jordan had a posterior cervical microdiscectomy. Apparently, he lost all feelings in his hands where he couldn't grip people, and it was in the ring where he couldn't do anything, and he realized he couldn't pick anybody up, couldn't do anything, and it was like a very, very serious situation. He himself didn't even know how injured he was. What is that?
What happens is in a wrestler or most athletes, the neck, even if you don't have a lot of arthritis, the disc becomes the problem. If you herniate a disc in your neck, and in a guy who's getting thrown around and jumping around the ring like he is, absolutely that can cause a herniation of the disc. The disc is supposed to be surrounded by a pretty tough material, and if part of this sponge shoots out the back toward the spinal canal, then it can pinch the nerve. And okay, if it pinches on the nerve, then you start to have nerve problems.
Jesus.
And his nerve problem apparently was some weakness in his hands. He probably had some numbness, tingling, I would assume, with that. And to alleviate the pressure on the nerve and allow the nerve to recover, you have to remove that disc if it doesn't go away with some rest and occasionally some therapy.
I'm proud of you that you named what he had.
Thank you.
I was reading your notes and what the heck is that? It actually, even after the doctor explained it, actually sounds maybe worse than it probably is.
It sounded
like you don't want that thing.
See, while you're busy running on the treadmill, I'm looking this stuff up.
Exactly.
We're doing
it. Sounded like
here.
I don't want posterior cervical microdiscotomy. I do not want that ever.
Another from the text side. People ask always about NCAA athletes. Have you ever worked with NCAA athletes who get hurt, or college athletes, student athletes? Who pays those bills in that regard, and how does that work out? Because often you have surgeries that is also outpatient care and rehab and all that. Mm-hmm. How do they always handle that?
So there's a couple good things that a lot of NCAA teams have got. First of all, they're going to have a full-fledged training staff for the most part. a lot of the therapy, a lot of the post-operative rehab is going to be done in-house. They're going to do it with their own trainers. They're going to do it with their own physical therapy type of staff. Okay. And they've got, you know, I mean, you see the athletic trainers on the field. They're the first people to run out. Yep. Those are also the people that are doing the rehab on the guys that do get injured. And so those guys are in the training room early hours before practice or before school trying to get these guys' therapy done. So there shouldn't be much for physical therapy costs or rehab costs because a lot of that's absorbed within that training staff.
Okay.
But it's up to every individual college. The NCAA, they have a catastrophic injury program where if there's an athlete that gets injured above a certain cost, then the NCAA is going to pick up that tab.
Okay.
But all the players, they're students first, athletes second, and so they're still regular population students. Most colleges require a certain amount of medical coverage.
Right.
So the usually the first part of the cost of any surgery or therapy is going to go to their home insurance plan, and a lot of these universities have a secondary policy or a plan where they'll pick up the rest.
Oh, okay.
So there's not a lot of cost that incurs to the player. But again, this is also different. Division One, Division Two, it really changes depending on
where you're
how much this institution's making off the program. So a lot of guys playing D3 or D2 ball, it's on them.
It's on mom and dad's insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Always wanted to know that. Never had anyone that had the answer on that
you
before.
You know, Saban's kids are covered.
Well, they should be.
They've got the best people.
Yeah, the daughters, they're covered. That's good.
I was talking about the players.
Sure.
We know the daughters are covered.
Yeah, well,
talking about the players.
Yeah, well, they just have to pick the right hat next time, and they're going to be taken care of forever. Dr. Caleb Pinneger here with us at GravettiOrtho.com. GravettiOrtho.com. Go online and learn more about the great atmosphere, the great center, and all the great physicians that work there and the great doctors, as Dr. Caleb Pinneger spent a year with Dr. James Andrews. And this time, we're going to start getting some crazy baseball injuries. You know, spring training was like that. What was it like for you to work in that area during the Florida spring training and all that?
It was amazing. I mean, it's amazing in the fact that the type of recruitment power Dr. Andrews had to just how many people he would see that had isolated injuries. And in no other place did you see that many UCL injuries, UCL sprains, shoulder problems. He has just it was a great opportunity, because without that type of training, I wouldn't be ready to do what I want to and can do now. And so baseball season, I mean, everybody in the operating room geared up. They said, I hope you're ready. And and that's exactly what happened. These guys start ramping up their fastballs, ramping up all their various pitch accounts, and boom.
Shoulders are amazing. You know, Andrew Luck, and I'm sure you know, as the Colts quarterback, he has this nagging shoulder injury. We were talking about Markelle Fultz, the rookie for Philadelphia, who they say now can only shoot within the key. There's no distance on his shot. He has no lift.
He only has like a 10-foot radius to shoot the ball. And we've been talking about him for a couple months now.
Yeah,
right?
And Luck is just one of these guys now. You know, he's gone to Europe looking for answers. I don't know why he has to go there. I would assume there's the answers here, but, you know, people always worry, given an athlete of his elite level, if it's not healing, let me go to someone else. How, you know, compare the shoulders and knees in terms of recovery, and I know that's a broad question, but you hear ACL, you know it's a knee. It seems like the shoulder, there's a lot going on there with a guy like Andrew Luck who just seemingly cannot get over this.
Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking about such a more mobile joint.
The knee
moves front and back. There's
right.
a little bit of rotation to it, but the shoulder, it's near, I mean, you can spin it in a full circle when your shoulder's healthy. It'll
right.
go up over your head. It'll go behind your back. It goes to every which
direction.
Well,
for some of us, Clay, I don't know where, if you and I are spending anything that much. But
Oh, yeah. I just
out of yoga class.
Yeah, right.
But that makes sense. So there's more, I guess,
more
than can go wrong with the shoulder.
Absolutely.
And
the balance is so delicate. I know with Markelle, we talked about that. His shooting habit and pattern of injury didn't develop overnight. This was something that must have progressed over time, eventually became problematic, and now he has to re-educate his shooting mechanism to try to keep him comfortable, to try to properly posture the shoulder, balance it, and get him pain-free.
That's the voice of Dr. Caleb Pinneger at Crivetti Orthopedics. Go online, CrivettiOrtho.com, to learn more information about Southern Nevada's leading sports injury experts. We appreciate your time again, Dr.
Thank
Pinneger.
You,
thanks again.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Thanks very much.
Well,
when we come back,
here it comes, the baseball win total.
The
contest.
Win totals. How many of the Dodgers? I'm going to go nine. You haven't told me yet.
I haven't told you.
I'll guess 94.
Ooh, we're going to find out more. Anything. And then when we come back here on the Press Box, and then at 1:30, we want your phone calls, 364-1100. Are you beginning to hate the Warriors the way everyone else hates the Red Sox, Yankees, and Patriots? Back here on the Press Box.
That's the sound cosmic.
Traffic brought to you by Solaxis. Find out more about regenerative medicine, solaxis.com. Injury crash on the freeways. That's 15 southbound in the collector's ramp as you approach 215. Other accidents include Eastern at Serene. We also have a crash on 15 northbound near Charleston.
Arthritis, orthopedic injuries, degenerative disease. If you are enduring chronic pain, consider stem cell, testosterone, and platelet-rich plasma therapy with Solaxis, the regenerative medicine experts. Find more information at Solaxis.com.
My Odds from William Hill Sportsbook lets you create and bet on your own prop bets. Tweet us at William Hill US with the hashtag My Odds. That's William Hill US with the hashtag My Odds, and we'll reply if your suggested prop bet has been accepted. You can also view all other My Odds prop bets by clicking on the My Odds category in the William Hill Sports Betting app or kiosk. More ways to bet, more ways to win. William Hill Sportsbook. This is more.
People ask, John, do you really work for Finley Toyota? My answer is yes, and you really do have a friend in the auto business. So if you're looking for a great deal on a new, certified pre-owned or used Toyota, come in and say hello. I'm John Barr, and I'll do anything to sell you a car.
The newly redesigned 2018 Subaru Outback. It comes with road-gripping, standard, symmetrical all-wheel drive, plus 32 miles per gallon, and it helps keep your journey safe. The Outback is a 2017 IIHS top